The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Max Carlin. Max, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Ben, because we're talking 2021 NBA Draft.
Yes, it's been a very fun first episode, at least just same recording session for us, of course, but finally some fun prospects to talk about. So we're just going to keep talking about some of the big and small prospects and the developments that we're seeing over the first couple of games. So without rambling anymore, let's get into it.
Yeah, with the same disclaimer that we're recording this on Friday, November 27th, after the first couple of days of games. But whatever happens over the weekend and early week, we will not be talking about. We're talking about that first weekend. Let's get into it.
The wait is finally over. Football's in full effect. With many teams strutting their stuff, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So let's go to a much more serious prospect and talk a little bit of Gonzaga with Jalen Suggs, who had a really good opening game. Don't get me wrong. I think the really encouraging thing he showed was the shooting looks really real. Like, he had the one like quick one dribble pull up gather off of a screen that looked incredibly clean. Hit like a deep NBA range pull up. I think it's pretty clear that the shooting is good. And if it's as good as he's kind of been showing, then I probably underestimated him a little bit. He's such a smart player on both ends. First, like as a passer, you know, his like manipulation of angles and just understanding of space as a ball handler and a playmaker, hitting tough laydowns between in tighter windows and making longer transition passes. All of that is really, really exceptional. And then the tough finishing. I mean, he's a tough layup machine. Like his touch and balance and strength on, you know, finishing through contact and knocking back defenders and staying on balance and finishing tough leaners. And he uses the rim as a shield so well to finish for up and unders while he hangs in the air. He's a gifted tough finisher as well. And then I thought the defense was good as well. Had a few mistakes, I think, on the ball, but generally was really sound as a team defender with his positioning and his angles in that kind of switch everything role in the perimeter, cutting off drivers and making tags and stunts. But I think people are getting carried away with this performance. Kind of like you've seen some anointing of Suggs as like a top tier prospect, as like a top 2-3. I mean, you've even seen like a little bit of mainstream people like talking about challenging Cade, which, you know, as we've talked about before, is ludicrous. It's not happening. I think the main concern with Suggs in that he really just struggles to generate significant advantages was very much present. The loose handle, his inability to just get by defenders. Like, so often he runs into defenders, and he's such a great touch finisher. I mean, especially at this level, he makes it work, but all of his finishes are difficult. I think the burst, like the burst is good. I think the explosion looks pretty good. He looked explosive and athletic, but even when he was able to turn the corner and get a step, like because of his lack of vertical explosion and real top end speed, all of his finishes are so difficult. Like, he makes them, but because he's so great at them, but they're all really tough. He doesn't really space create for wide open jumpers. I think
his usage, especially in Gonzaga's offense, kind of hides some of that. Like they had he had the one play earlier in the game where he came off a handoff and hit the roller in like a pocket pass. I think that's a perfect example of he's going to be maximized at Gonzaga as someone who's not going to have the self-creation burden be an issue. And obviously, like, he's going to be an incredible college player, and Gonzaga is probably going to win the national title, large in part to him, or going to have a good chance. But yeah, I think the concerns with Suggs are still very real. And I think definitely under talks about that you want to see more self-creation for him and more advantage creation and more dribbling complexity and just a tighter handle. Yeah, I mean, still had a really good performance, I think. Like, a very good prospect, like top 10 worthy for sure. But I'm not getting too carried away with Suggs after one game, really.
He is so perfectly set up at Gonzaga to look amazing, to look too good. Playing in a spot with like multiple skilled bigs who can handle, who will get him looks where he doesn't have to dribble, but like can show off the fact that it, like you said, it seems that the shooting is very real, which is huge. That's absolutely huge. That he can play in transition, where you see his open court athleticism, where you see that he is a really, really smart passer, and where he just doesn't have to operate in tight spaces with his handle. Yeah, defensively, he's so good. The tough finishing is there. I think it's going to keep looking worse. You know, it's not just that he can't create advantages. It's that, like, he's also got short arms. Like, he's like a neutral wingspan as a relatively...
And he can't really jump either.
Yeah, and is exclusively a 2-foot leaper.
Yeah. Even so, off 2 feet, like without a runway, like he had the one play where he like tried to jump in transition and like didn't get high enough to dunk. I think that's kind of like obviously like not a serious play, but a strong example of like a real concern with him, just not be like a concern that like you said, I think Gonzaga makes less pertinent at the moment, but is going to matter in the NBA for sure.
Yeah, I just think this performance was very predictable, and it's why Jalen Suggs is a very good prospect. But you know, like talking before the season with our pal Jackson Frank, who does a great job covering Gonzaga and the draft, he was saying that he just knows that Suggs is going to look so good because of the quality of the quality of the team as a whole. I mean, it's the best team in the nation by a huge margin. Like they're so good. But just that there's such a potent transition attack with a guy like Kispert, who's so, so dangerous in transition, with Suggs, who's dangerous in transition, with skilled bigs who can handle the ball and push like Timmy and Watson. It's such a good setup for him, for Suggs to look so good, because his weaknesses as a half-court creator are not going to be exposed. And everything that he does so well that make him a really good prospect are going to be amplified. So yeah, I think he's showcasing why he is a really good prospect, why he is that sort of secondary creator who is worthy of a lottery pick at the very least. But you're not seeing him exposed as a guy who really can't dribble. Like he's a small guard, really. Like if he's an off guard, he's small. He's a 6'4" guard who truly cannot dribble. And that's a huge problem, even if you're a guy who can really shoot off the dribble, which it seems like he can, who does have a really great sense for moving in space and
is pretty explosive overall. Like,
yeah, for sure. No, he is. He's an explosive player. He just is really encumbered by that handle, even with his intelligence and shooting and explosion. It's such a huge flaw. And he can be a really good prospect in spite of that. But, you know, watch Cade Cunningham. Watch what Cade Cunningham does with the ball in his hands and how much he can create out of nothing, and compare that to Jalen Suggs. And that's all you need to know about why Cade is the clear best prospect in this class. And Jalen Suggs is a very good prospect. And if a lot of these guys that we think are kind of reasonable-ish creator bets, if a lot of them turn out not to be that, then Jalen Suggs could conceivably be a very high pick. But that's going to be based on the fact that this draft ends up being not that strong, rather than Jalen Suggs being like a really elite level prospect, because at the end of the day, he is still a relatively small guard who struggles to create for himself.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that I think this game is kind of like the apex for Jalen Suggs. At least offensively. I think there's more high level defensive stuff that he's gonna show. He was good defensively, but there was none of the ridiculous like team defensive playmaking instincts, the blocks, the steals. I think offensively, this is kind of it for him. The perimeter shot making was awesome. The tough finishing was lights out. He looked explosive. The passing was great. So I think this is kind of like as good as it's going to get for Suggs offensively. I mean, he might have better performances statistically or ones in which he makes more shots. But I think in terms of the diversity of his game and what he can and can't do, this is a pretty good encapsulation of what Jalen Suggs is and what he isn't. And I think that what he isn't component is just kind of getting overlooked. And while Suggs had a very awesome game and he's really fun, some skepticism is certainly warranted for his status as a top prospect.
All right, next, his teammate, Corey Kispert. My like hot take of the first weekend is that I think Corey Kispert's going to end up being a first-round pick. Guys with that shooting from elite programs who also have size are really highly valued. And I don't think like Kispert as a first is that crazy. Like he seems to have improved. He seems quicker. He tried to dunk on a few guys. But he's a smart player. He is like a pretty capable passer as well. And just a great shooter at that size. Like, yes, he's going to concede dribble penetration. He can't really dribble, although he did have the slowest
blow by of all time.
Yeah, it was so funny. But he is a very good player. He is, again, going to be a really great college player this year. And is an awesome shooter while having size. Like I think he's going to end up going the first. And honestly, like it kind of highlights how crazy it is to take someone like Emmanuel Quickly in the first round this year. No, seriously, because look at who the shooters are in this year's class. You've got Corey Kispert, you've got Spencer Jones, Sam Hauser. Like all of these guys are enormous in addition to being unbelievable shooters. Yeah. I mean, in addition to being better shooters than Quickly. So it just looks kind of absurd to take a guy who's 6'3 and basically and essentially like a one skill prospect when, I mean, even compared to last year, you know, you had bigger, more shooters with more diverse skills. But yeah, I mean, I think this year the size of the shooters kind of highlights how weak a proposition a 6'3 one skill shooting prospect is, because you know when all of these guys are 6'8 and like pretty smart team defenders, at the very least, you know, that's just in terms of what you could, the value you can generate on the defensive end or just the ways you can avoid conceding value, but then also just ability to get your shot off. Like it's much easier to get your shot off when you're 6'8 than 6'3. So yeah, don't draft 6'3 guys who are one skill shooters.
Yeah. Aside from being a great shooter, on and off the ball, he's just a great off ball player in general. His, you know, sense of space and how to get open shots and find holes in the defense. I'm pretty sure he even had a play where he slipped into space as a roller and got a dunk, like cutting off of the ball. And I think, another trait that lends well is his craft finishing has looked pretty impressive to me, I think, earlier this season. I mean, in the first game against Kansas and then in a couple clips I saw against Auburn. Like, we talk about that, the slow blow-by.
Yeah, the finish was really nice on that.
The finish was great. I mean, he used, like, he shielded the ball with the rim and finished with his left hand under the rim to you know, stave off the recovering big. So with the craft finishing, yes, he can't get to the rim on his own in the NBA. No way. Not even really in college consistently. But you know, what if he can get there as a cutter or moving off of screens, or filling lane in transition, like he can definitely finish there, I think, a little bit with his size and craft. So yeah, I mean, I haven't been a big Kispert guy in the past, but I wouldn't really be shocked to see him win the first. And yeah, I mean, like, again, like I wouldn't hate it. Like, big shooters with ancillary skills are valuable, and he's clearly one of those, I think. And hopefully we see more, just like more on-ball stuff this year at Gonzaga. I mean, I think we will probably.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the finishing. Like, you have to close out super hard on Corey Kispert because he is a great shooter, and then like he is a pretty good passer. Like, you can reliably count on him to make decisions attacking closeouts. So yeah, he's a well-rounded big shooting prospect. That's pretty valuable. There are going to be parallels drawn to Cam Johnson for sure. And I think like for him, that's probably a lot more reasonable than it's been for guys like Neesmith, who have much less well-rounded skill sets. I think Kispert is going to be very highly regarded. I don't think it's crazy. Like I liked him last year, I think more than you. Definitely a guy I would have drafted, not in the first, but yeah, he's just a good basketball player and brings a lot of valuable skills.
Yeah, and I think at this point, is he a better prospect than Watson to you?
Yeah, Watson has looked terrible.
Yeah, he's not looked good. I mean, the mobility, I think, on both ends has been problematic.
Yeah, so like I mentioned this in the past that our buddy Zach Milner had been clipping that Gonzaga scrimmage, and that Watson, some of the Watson clips were really concerning, that the movement was not good. And that's been the case that this year. I mean, he looks slow. He can't stay in front of anyone. Yeah. He looks terrible. Like he just
the one play where he like tried to create from the perimeter and just like lost the ball and fell over. It's not like he's not in positions to take advantage of his strengths. Like he is, and he's going to be with Gonzaga. But like he does not look good, and like especially watching him next to Drew Timmy, who has just been outstanding, like on both ends. Like he's one of the best bigs in the country, no doubt. Less of like a serious NBA prospect, at least for this year, but like an incredible college big. And yeah, I'm definitely saddened to see Watson not looking very good. Like it's probably
Timmy is gonna spend the rest of this year and the next 2 years being the answer to the question of like who's the best college player who's not a real NBA prospect, because he's so good, but not really an NBA prospect.
But he's awesome. Like he's so much fun and he's like really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's kind of hard to find people on Gonzaga who don't look like more real prospects than Watson, honestly. Right?
Yeah.
Now. It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's like even Nembhard, who like has a lot of real issues. Like, I mean, it's disappointing. It's kind of sad, but Watson, yeah, I think Kispert easily their second best prospect at the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I did not watch the first USC game, but you did, and I've seen clips. Mobley.
Yes. Very excited for the Mobley show. So happy to have it back. There were quite a few Isaiah to Evan and Evan to Isaiah plays where, yes, USC's offense is kind of a nightmare. They're UNC West, but like some of the high post stuff. I mean, you saw some of Evan Mobley's pretty special, like handling coordination and passing for a size. They ran a snug pick and roll where he like handled it and threw a lob to Isaiah Mobley. Had a couple like high post entries, hit a short roll corner skip. Like the passing was awesome, and even the ones that didn't amount to anything, like his fluidity transitioning from dribble to pass at that size is totally ridiculous. And then like some of the handling coordination was there, like really fast and fluid attacking closeouts, even if he can't really get to the rim or anything or create space just because of his general lack of strength. The touch looked great. He was able to score in a variety of ways, like really high length extension post hooks and floaters with his touch, some tough floaters and contact finishes on drives. The jumper didn't look too bad either. Still like a slow two motion shot, but he was comfortable taking it. Hit a spot up three. That looks good. So
overall, his lower body looked weird on that spot up three. I've seen that clip. Yeah, it was slow. Yeah,
it's slow. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's like stemming from that, I'm curious to see what happens when teams just completely stop closing out on him, like we saw with Isaac Okoro last year. Like, what happens with the not? Because I do kind of think, like, I'm still undecided if I think Mobley is a wing or a big. It's just like what's going to happen when teams just completely start ignoring him. But I believe in him with the handling and with the fact that like even more so than Okoro, that he can operate on the roll, that he can operate from the dunker spot because he's just so freaking quick off the ground. It's so enormous.
He's like a really good off ball big.
Like, I think that's honestly probably under-discussed with him. Like, he could be a ridiculous lob threat with his quick leaping and, like, his coordination and his length to extend back and catch difficult passes. And
he has a 7'6 wingspan. He's just an enormous human being.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be so good off the ball, like, even if he can't make it work off the ball.
And
like,
he's on the crazy ball, high feel. He just has such a great sense for finding space on the court to move into and timing. He really is awesome. I think there's a pretty significant chance that he ends up just being QB2. Especially with how BJ, I know we're not overreacting to one game, but the fact that some of the like easily anticipated concerns.
My at the moment cottage take is that if he went to any school with like a competent offensive system, that he'd probably pretty easily be the number two prospect, like, quickly. It's still, like, unfortunate to see him playing in, like, the USC offense, which lends to some fun moments with, like, high lows with his brother, but, like, generally the spacing and everything is really off. But, yeah, like, he's so good. I mean, I'll talk about the defense, which was generally good, I think, as well. He had some issues diagnosing, you know, slips and DHO keepers and more complex, you know, pick-and-roll actions that he just hasn't really seen in a long time, I think, or isn't used to defending. But I think he even showed his ability to adapt, where Cal Baptist got him on a couple slips early in the game, and then later in the game, like, they tried it again, but he instantly reacted and stole the ball. So I think he's already shown that ability to adapt as a team defender, as a processor. And then all of the general Mobley special stuff was there. Like, he was like, none, like, Cal Baptist isn't a very athletic or explosive team, but their guards could get nothing on him, as like driving on the perimeter. Like, his movement on hedges, late switches, even just straight switches guarding the perimeter, he was pretty stellar there. And then as a rim protector, had some issues just like straight defending in the post with his strength, which was to be expected, but the rim protection with his timing and length and ability to corral the ball and keep it in front of him, all of that was there. Like, I think it wasn't a game just because of how Cal Baptist plays that lended to like crazy defensive impact, but I think all of the really impressive tools and traits that Mobley has were apparent, even if not in, you know, as pronounced a way as I think they will be in the future. Overall, like a really great performance, like a lot of what you wanted to see with Mobley. Just going to be really, really exciting for him this year. I'm going to watch a lot of their games. Like, he's so much fun. Like,
yeah, I'm excited to watch them. To take team building concessions to get the most out of Evan Mobley, but it's going to be worth it. He's just like really special physically, skill wise, feel like he really is. I think a pretty outstanding prospect. Yeah. How did his engagement look? Just like totally fixed from senior year?
Totally fixed. Yeah. I mean, he was trying. Like I said, there were some, I think, processing and understanding gaffes defensively where he just like wasn't recognizing actions quickly enough or wasn't picking up on certain motions. But I can't recall any or, and didn't note any either where he just like wasn't trying.
Yeah.
I mean, not offensively as well. But he picked the spots. He was aggressive when he needed to be. He passed when he needed to. That concern, as kind of expected, was evaporated when he's actually playing for a team that's gonna, you know, make him a focal point on offense. Like,
yeah. So like things to monitor: how he adjusts to being ignored because of his shooting. How much more consistent he gets with diagnosing action? Because yeah, I saw that he got on two slips and had the one where he realized and I think he had a steal. But monitoring how much his recognition progresses and how he adjusts to being ignored as a shooter. But really an outstanding prospect, incredibly fun. Like, watch him, he's cool. Just like the way that he moves, like he's a guy where you don't even need to see him do anything with the basketball. Just watch him move, and it's like how people describe James Wiseman as like all you need to do is watch him move. And I don't really think that was the case with Wiseman, because like you could watch him try to turn his hips and then you wouldn't be too enthused. But like, watch Evan Mobley move. Just like watch him catch a lob where he reaches back with one hand.
Yeah, quite early in the game. Like,
yeah, and just like has the coordination to just like gather himself and dunk it like so calmly, and it looks so easy. He is just really special physically while being very, very skilled and an incredibly high field player. Really an awesome prospect.
Yeah, I'll quickly say before we move on, don't think we're seeing an Isaiah Mobley leap. I think just with more usage and more of an offensive role, like we saw some of the passing and a little bit of the defensive, you know, impact with his length and smarts, but overall, like, still looks overwhelmed physically. Some interior scoring with his height and length, but again, the competition isn't great. I wasn't super encouraged. I mean, the shooting looks, I think he's more confident as a shooter, which is a nice sign, but like the shot still doesn't look great.
I'm not really expecting it to ever be there with Isaiah Mobley.
I wasn't super encouraged, and I think just playing with better teammates is a big help for him. Like playing with his brother, who not only is like an incredibly high field playmaker, but is like his brother and probably knows him as a basketball player better than almost anybody. And like just playing with like USC is a really fun team. Like they have so many big skilled guys, like
Agbunpolo,
your boy Agbunpolo. They have kind of like another tall guard named Drew Peterson, who I wasn't aware of his existence, but made some really impressive passes as well. I don't exactly know what he is, but he's like a really good passer at his size. So just like, it's like again, why it's unfortunate that their offensive construction is as it is, because they're a talented and like they're a skilled and physically imposing team. Which again lends well to opening up the floor for Isaiah Mobley, especially, and Evan as well. But I think Evan's going to be doing a lot of the driving of that offense. But yeah, I mean, overall, like Evan Mobley's so good. Like he's awesome.
He's a really sensational prospect. I would not be surprised if he really establishes himself as the other guy in this class. Especially, like, I'm curious. Zaire has not played yet. Zaire Williams at Stanford has not played yet. Their first
Keon has not played yet. Jaden Springer, Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, but I mean, just thinking about my top tier of guys, I think Keon might be in that. I'm not really decided on that yet. But Cade being in his own tier, and then BJ Zaire and Evan Mobley. The physicality did not translate up to compensate for his strength. I'm definitely concerned about Zaire, although stylistically he plays very differently from BJ, that he is really reliant on the shot. But if his defensive impact is really hindered by his strength, which I'm concerned about because he's even weaker than BJ and not physical.
I'm definitely BJ. More worried about Zaire from a physicality standpoint than Boston. Like,
yeah, given that I have some concerns about BJ and you know, like those also kind of rub off onto Zaire. I would not be surprised if Mobley cements himself as like the clear two. And I'm definitely not making that change yet, although he's always been in that tier for me. I'm excited about him. He's a really, really good prospect.
The wait is finally over. Football's in full effect. With many teams strutting their stuff, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Support for the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I am talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting it on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code ARMCHAIR. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
All right, so next I want to talk about Caleb Love and UNC. I don't think you watched this game either, did you?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Very disappointing performance for Caleb Love. You can give me the I told you so. Because Max,
I told you so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't as optimistic on Love as I think a lot of people were, but I certainly was more optimistic than you were. And as of now, his performance looked eerily familiar to another number two wearing UNC guard who you all know, I'm sure. But yeah, the burst and explosiveness was more problematic than I anticipated. Just could not get any separation after his initial moves. We're like, he has some shiftiness in his handle, but just out of breaks, he couldn't create that separation. Once he gets to the rim, just cannot elevate to finish. Had like one or two like actual rim attempts where he got all the way to the rim, and a lot of those like weren't really his own doing, I think. And then he just like was passive as a shooter, which I really didn't expect, and is kind of unfortunate. Like he was not taking threes. Like I think he took like one pull up three, maybe. Like he was passing up like shots, threes off of movement, was passing up relatively open threes off the catch, even if from fairly deep. I think his like he's gonna need to like chuck if he's gonna keep any value. Like he's gonna need to take advantage of his awesome pull up shooting. The floater game was there as well. Like he has certainly like a solid intermediate game with his shifty handling and the floater touch. So he showed off some of that. And then like the playmaking, well, he made some nice reads in transition. Very much didn't do much. The spacing was obviously terrible as always, but the decision making as well just wasn't great. So offensively, I was concerned. And then defensively, just was whatever. Like had some flashes of solid mirroring on the ball and using his length and instincts to jump passing lanes, and then had some, you know, plays where he allowed too much penetration or, you know, didn't rotate a pretty obvious play and it lost a shooter off ball. So just not an encouraging performance for Caleb Love. I think was even worse was RJ Davis, who I kind of definitely expected to see more than I expected with Love, because he's just so small and gets physically overwhelmed on both ends. Certainly like all of a sudden, like a lot more, like definitely a lot more concerned about Love than I was going in, seeing that if this is going to be what it's like, it's not good. Like he was not great. And like a lot of it was his fault. Some of it wasn't. And I don't think UNC is a place where it's a lot of that's going to get fixed. Yeah, it was problematic with him. Just his lack of advantage creation, decision making, really stark.
Hold high school guards to a very high standard. If burst looks like it's not great in high school, it's going to be a huge problem in college. We saw that with Cole. It seems like we're seeing that again with Caleb Love. And yeah, a similar thing to RJ Davis, that when he played big and athletic competition, he looked shockingly small and unathletic. And it certainly seems like that was the takeaway that everyone who watched this game had. Like Ben said, I haven't seen this game, so I don't know about the specifics, but I've seen clips of especially of Love really looking slow. And yeah, I don't think that he looked like the slowest guy in the world in high school and AAU, but he definitely didn't look bursty. And you just have to think about how that's going to translate up levels. Hold guys to a really high standard with that. You know, if you're a big time guard prospect, you really need to be getting to the rim with ease. And that's why I miss Sharif and I want to see him play. I want to see Sharif at the rim every single possession, because his explosion out of his ridiculous dribble moves is so good. Yeah.
So like Cade.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, the standard for guards is really high. It's really tough to be, I mean, any type of creator, obviously, but to be like, once you lose size, you really got to be really exceptional from a burst standpoint, handling all those things. Yeah. Yeah.
Just want to track if Caleb Love's going to like start shooting more. That's weird.
I was not a Caleb Love guy. Timidity as a shooter was not something I was accounting for in that.
Yeah, like he was not ambitious as a shooter, which is what he needs to be.
Which is weird, because like he's always been a guy with a really quick trigger. Like, that's part of the appeal, is that he gets his shot off super quickly. Yeah, weird.
Awesome touch and range and east-west space creation. Like, yeah, I mean, it's concerning. I mean, again, only one game, and not going to, like, overreact to one game. But I think it was a game that was instructive. And I guess unsurprising that UNC willing to change its offensive ways. And I definitely wonder what impact it's having. Because, like, in theory, like, it's a roster with, like, a lot of skill and a lot of spacing. Like, or at least it could be. Mm-hmm. And it just isn't. So.
Yeah. All right, not college. Do you want to talk Roko Prokocin a little bit? Because I've watched a handful more of his early season games with Sabona. I keep getting lower and lower on him. I really don't like him. So, like, we discussed this before, that he seemed to get bigger, and with that lost some of his movement appeal, that, like, he really is a bit clunkier now and just slower and moves worse laterally. And it's not getting better yet. And you obviously have to give a guy time with that. That can take years to get that back. But if he doesn't have, like, really special movement ability, the athletic appeal of Roko Prokocin falls off a huge amount. And so I've just been really concerned what he's done defending in, like, on-ball situations, that his movement and footwork have been really bad, that his pick and roll coverages have been really, really bad, that he seems to have no clue what he's supposed to be doing there, and can't really move in them. And then just offensively, I really don't know what he is. The shot is still a total mess. He is a high field guy, a good cutter, does have some slashing and ground coverage ability with long strides, and just, like, being a very large person, has some ambidextrous finishing. And, like, defensively, there are good things. Like, I think for the most part, as a team defender, he's pretty good. He's like really, really physical on tags, but, like, communication is rough. He is like late on stuff and does miss stuff. I keep souring on him the more I watch. Not wild about Roko.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly get all of the concerns. I haven't seen him recently, so putting on weight and losing explosiveness would definitely be an issue. I'm, like, still holding out hope because of, like, how explosive he looked at lower levels. Like, he, like, really was able to, like, easily win with explosion and burst and create easy looks at lower levels. And yes, I think not being able to do it is concerning, but I mean, he's still, like, a 18-year-old. I mean, he turned 18 yesterday, and he's playing in a pretty good pro league. So I think there's reason to still believe in his ability to create a little bit. And I think that opens up his passing, which I'm a believer in. So I mean, I'm still pretty high on him just because I have more belief in the creation and the playmaking. It's probably definitely just as skeptical as you on the shot, like. It's not.
Yeah, but that's kind of the problem, though, is that he's a guy who, you know, without the threat of the shot, I'm not sure what he can do, because he is a physical driver and a somewhat explosive one. But, like, guys can give him that step and absorb, like, when he drops his shoulder, you can absorb that. Like, he's not crazy strong or anything. So I don't really know what he can do without people respecting his shot, outside of, like, being a smart cutter. I have role concerns and just, like, ability concerns there.
Yeah, I mean, those are all fair concerns. I'm just more, you know, more confident in his ability to create with his closeness and his handle. And I mean, yeah, I mean, the shot is not good, no doubt. I think it can improve to the point where it's okay, but it's going to take a lot. And I just believe a lot in all of what else he does and his age and what he's shown at lower levels. So I'm going to, like, remain fairly optimistic. But again, like, I haven't seen, like, a lot of the recent games. So, I mean, I'm always open, like, changing my opinion.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what you think after watching some more of this year's games. I'm down to, like, 20s range for him. I was never really viewing him as a lottery guy, more of a mid-first guy. But I'm getting even more pessimistic on him. I think that, yeah, beyond all of the, like, more granular issues that I have, I just, without the shot there, It's just, I'm really not sure what he does. And I definitely don't think that he is some exceptional defensive prospect to cover for that. Even if he is good and at lower levels has been really good from a recognition standpoint and a lot better movement wise. I'm not into Rogo.
Do you want
to talk TJD?
Yeah. I watched Trace Jackson Davis's first game against Tennessee Tech. We are not Trace Jackson Davis guys. I've always been kind of baffled by the Trace Jackson Davis hype. Just never really saw it. We'll say I haven't changed, but he did show some incremental improvement that may be encouraging. He made a right hand layup and it looked really good. Like it looked nice. Like it was like a drop step over his left shoulder, clean.
You said right handed.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Okay, you have to send me that.
Yeah, I will. I clipped it. I posted it on my Twitter last night.
Gonna go look at that right now.
It's, yeah, I know, right? Like I was aghast at that play. Yeah, right, like drop step in the post, right handed layup. It looked good. He did in fact have quite a few of the same plays where he was, you know, tried way too hard to finish with his left hand and totally failed because of it. Also had some really impressive your face.
He finished with his right hand.
He did. Unbelievable. He did. I wasn't lying. Had some plays where he showcased his awesome touch with his left hand. But like the real development, I think the passing looked a lot better. Definitely was improved. He had a couple really impressive plays where he had one where like on the, I clipped it as well, like he on the catch made like an immediate pass to a cutter. He had a play earlier in the game like that where he didn't see the help and turned it over, and then had that play later in the game. So I think the processing speed overall is improving. While maybe he's not reading defenses as well as he could. The processing speed and willingness to try passes is good. He had like a crazy outlet pass where like he grabbed a rebound with one hand, and before he hit the ground, he like launched the outlet perfectly, like with velocity. That was fun and encouraging. So definitely looking to see more passing with him. He had quite a few good basic reads, which is what you really want to see from Trace. Cause just before, it's just last year, you know, with his finishing issues, besides being like a roll man and like a face up scorer, I wasn't sure what he did on offense. And if he's playmaking, that's important. Shot he took and made a long mid pick and pop, which was solid. The jumper still looks pretty bad, and it was wide open and it was one jumper. That's like a fourth of his jumper sample from last year. Like,
yeah, I think that like Synergy might have credited him with more, but if you go back and look, there were like two real jumpers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so he took like two or three actual jump shots last year, and the fact that he took and hit one in the first game, I mean, fairly encouraging. So obviously, like, still majorly a TJD skeptic. His defensive impact was also not really there. It was kind of eh. Like there was some good movement on hedges and recoveries, but no really incredible plays. A couple little mistakes, overly jumpy on the perimeter on closeouts and just not rotating well. But yeah, I mean, still like an old prospect who can't shoot and is undersized as a big, but the passing improvement is important, I think. And I think it's on the track to see if it's real. And just like this Indiana team is really fun with their freshman class. Like Christian Lander and Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal are all very fun freshman guards. So I think there's definitely some unlocking potential for Trace, where I'm, again, like a Trace skeptic, but open to the idea of him. Very interested to see if he can continue this against better competition. And keep up the passing development, which is was kind of surprising to see, and definitely I think encouraging. So good to see from Trace, though I'm still skeptical.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game, but also a Trace Jackson Davis skeptic for all the reasons you laid out.
God. Yeah, I was so surprised when he finished with his right hand. Like it was.
Yeah, I mean, you saw my reaction to him.
I did.
Yeah, not something I expected.
That's one time I wish I was recording the screen. So, all right. So I think that's all of like the big prospects and talking points we have. So we got a few smaller catching eye guys. So Max, want to get on with yours?
Sure. Yeah. So I watched a few minutes of the Ohio-Illinois game that was today. Ohio guard Jason Preston. This guy is good. He is really, really crafty, like 6'3", 6'4", lead guard. Really awesome understanding of space, just like where to snake to and how long to hold the big. Just like some stop start into a scoop layup. Did hit a few threes today, which as far as I can tell from his basketball reference page has been his hiccup in the past. Not really a high volume 3-point shooter, but a really crafty guard, like seems to be quite a good passer as well. So yeah, I mean, he just popped big time. I mean, he went toe to toe with Ayo Dosunmu, who we were talking up, I guess, in part one of this, and almost pulled out the win. Had a few like big passes and big buckets late. Pretty impressive. Like looking through his sports ref page today, like has been, you know, had a solid sophomore year as well. So I'm a guy from a smaller school that I'm excited to track, because it seems like he's a pretty interesting guard prospect.
Yeah, the scoring volume and diversity leap is certainly encouraging to see potentially happening. I mean, I was definitely aware of Preston and somewhat familiar with him as a really impressive passer at his size, but definitely didn't have any in-depth knowledge of him, didn't really study him last year. Yeah, this is encouraging to see, seeing kind of that uptick as an offensive generator. Certainly a game I'm going to watch and someone who I'm excited to watch going forward. Because, yeah, I mean, he, like, just from the clips I saw you post and have seen people post, like, he looks very fun. Like, the craft and the pick-and-roll playmaking is all pretty good for a guy his size. He looks fairly big as well. Like,
yeah, he's, like, I mean, he's four, good size height-wise for a lead guard. He's skinny as a junior for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like 6'3", 6'4", or something. He's listed, I think, at 6'4", but
yeah, I think
maybe a little bit smaller than that.
With the hair, I mean, he looks bigger, too.
Yeah. But yeah, he's interesting for sure. Like definitely someone to track.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a couple guys I want to talk about. First one, Kansas freshman Bryce Thompson was really impressive. He looked like their best prospect, I think, pretty clearly. I mean, not that Kansas really has any other real prospects. I mean, you can take your pick between fringy guys like Agbaji or Garrett, but Bryce Thompson looked really legit. He was a really, really great pull-up shooter. Very comfortable getting into mid-range pull-ups, great lift, smooth transition from dribble to pull, and then hit like that impressive like between the legs step back in semi-transition that looks really good. I mean, I don't think he's very explosive and didn't get any separation turning the corner or getting to the rim, but the shooting was awesome. And then his defense was like incredible. Like I did not expect this. I hadn't seen any of Thompson before, so I didn't know anything about him. But I don't have any like pre-college prior, but his defense was incredible. Like, I think he had like four or five stocks. Like the recovery tools, even when he allowed penetration to get blocks on some of Gonzaga's guards, like he fronted the post against the big and got a steal. He had some really impressive like stunt and recovers to pick up deflections, like some veteran trickery where he'd bait offensive players to get steals. Like he's pretty weak. He's skinny and he's not that explosive. But the instincts and like the effort and his just willingness to fight on defense was really impressive. That coupled with like good pull up shooting, I think you potentially have a pretty interesting prospect. Definitely stood out as the most interesting prospect to me on that Kansas team. Excited to watch more of him.
Yeah, our guy Jake Rosen is a big fan, and so he was. Yeah, when Thompson was kind of lighting it up against Gonzaga, I asked him about him, and he said that he's a bucket getter, and he certainly seemed like a bucket getter in that game. Yeah, that step back was really awesome, I didn't pay as close attention to him, but I obviously noticed that the step back, and he had another was chasing off screens and picked up a steal. Yeah, he definitely popped. He looks like a guy for sure. Yeah, we'll see. Kansas not exactly prospect
heavy laden this year.
Oh yeah, we'll, we'll see. Yeah, he certainly could be the best they have to offer.
And then lastly, Dwan Odom, freshman at Xavier, freshman, like 6'4", 6'5", explosive guard with really great defensive instincts, chasing off the ball instincts, jumping passing lanes for steals, had a couple blocks in the perimeter, and then in transition is like didn't do much, at least that I didn't catch the whole game. I thought bits and pieces, but in transition offensively, really fast, like with some actual like change of pace as a handler, and was able to like have some explosive touch finishes and draw fouls. Just like an explosive guard with some real instincts, who I am just gonna track, like very, very root catching eye roots guy. Like not too sure about him, but caught my eye and was impressive, and someone I'm gonna keep looking at going forward.
Yeah, I don't have any takeaways on him. I did see him in some of the first Xavier game, but didn't have a takeaway.
All right, so I'm pretty sure that's all we have today for our first episode covering 2021.
That's all we have after we discussed
30
different things.
We could have spent probably like another hour if we'd watched more games. I mean, we didn't talk about like Villanova, Arizona State guys, and there's so much.
We could do that. I watched some of both Villanova games so far, and they play again today.
You can talk about them because, I mean, I haven't seen either of the games. I'm meaning to play later today, but might as well. Like,
I didn't watch them that closely, but Marcus Bagley hit a bunch of threes, including one off the move, which was interesting because he's quite large. I know PD is a big fan of Marcus Bagley, so someone to track. Christopher, what did I see from Christopher?
I saw him get like a bank pull up three.
Banked a pull up three. He had one nice attack where I think he like hit a guy with a hang and then exploded out of it and finished. That was pretty solid. He's an interesting but weird prospect, like kind of on the Ant Edwards spectrum, but way less skilled. But like
really overwhelming physically though, like.
Yeah, really, like really, really impressive physically. And then JRE, of course, is off to a huge start this year. I think he looks more willing to shoot, which is good. Like getting up more threes, which is good. He does kind of seem fundamentally to be a similar player to me, but that's a guy who I liked a lot as sort of like a linking four who just can be trusted to move the ball and can handle a bit, and you know is going to get good. Like he's going to give you production on the glass. Like moves well. He's definitely been targeted a bit on the perimeter, but like it doesn't go that poorly. Like he kind of just slides with guys and then
he's
they get off
mover.
They get off like mediocre floater attempts, so like he gets attacked a lot, but it's I don't know that it's actually that effective for the opposition because he does move well. It would be nice if he like were truly center size, because then he'd be a really good prospect, but I don't know. I still like him as a guy who's smart, moves well, is physical, and I think can shoot and like be a good team offensive player. Nothing incredible, but like I think approximately a first round prospect.
Yeah, I mean, definitely someone who I was a big fan of last year. I'm sure I haven't seen any of the Nova games yet, but I'm sure I will continue to be a big fan of him. Like he's very fun, and he always has been. Like. He's just a great, you know, doesn't really have any real upside as like a star, solid role-playing big. The size, you know, definitely a bit of a concern, but just people who move that well or are that smart and skilled and looks like going to be that good of a shooter, like there's a place for him.
Yeah, I wish he was a little bit longer and was just more consistent as a finisher because of it. That would be really nice, but he's like an even wingspan guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that he's not a little bit bigger and a little bit longer, but he's still good.
Yeah. I think that's actually all we have for now.
Yeah.
Gonna have a whole cycle of this, so that's fun and exciting. We'll have more of this talk next week, I'm sure. So with all that, we'll outro. Thank you all for listening, as always. You can follow the pod at @prep2propod on Twitter. Follow Max at MaxAcarlin and me at Ben_Pfeiffer_ for lots of the clips that we're going to be posting from the various games we'll be watching. With that, we will see you all next week.